Christ is the only way. Studies in Paul's Epistle to the Galatians. Galatia was the heart of Asia Minor, modern Turkey, populated by Celts who had migrated from Gaul, France, and given their name to the area, Galatia. Pisidia and Lycaonia were parts of Galatia, with Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe the main centers of population. Paul evangelized Galatia during his first missionary journey, Acts 13 through Acts 14. The fickleness and violence of the people are seen in Luke's story. They first worship Paul and Barnabas as deities. Almost immediately after, stone Paul to death as a criminal. Keep these characteristics in mind while we study Paul's epistle to the Galatians. The apostle returned to confirm the believers on his second itinerary, Acts chapter 16, and again on his third trip, Acts 18. Later, while working in Ephesus, he wrote his letter to help the Galatian believers who were upset by itinerant Judaizers. Jewish and Gentile Christianity in conflict. This week we study parts of the book of Acts. Judaism was the background of early Christianity. The original believers in Christ were Jews, who had performed the rites and ceremonies which were their national heritage. Some carried over these practices into their new religion. Through the centuries, persecution had driven the Jews inwards in self-defense. And Jewish Christians even kept converts from other races at a distance as their Hebrew brethren thought of the Gentiles. As Gentile Christians increased in number, the question arose among the Jewish disciples as to how many traditions of old Judaism the new converts should accept. The same philosophy is carried over sometimes in the minds of European missionaries who work in third world cultures. How much of the ways of so-called Western civilization must the Christian believers in third world countries incorporate into their lifestyle? Part number one, into all the world. Christ commissioned his followers, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And immediately before he ascended, he outlined his program. His apostles were to preach first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, next in Samaria, and finally in the ends of the earth. The Savior included the teaching of all his commandments as part of his gospel. It was the interpretation of the phrase, "all things whatsoever I have commanded you," that caused tensions between Jewish and Gentile converts. Believing the Hebrew myth that the Messiah would lead the armies of Israel to conquer the Romans and establish the Jewish nation as the dominant power in Palestine, if not in the world, even the 12 disciples were slow to accept Christ's teaching that his was not a worldly kingdom, but consisted of the internal regnancy of the Spirit within human personality. God was to be king in the heart. Even though Christ had died, striking a death blow at these political aspirations, and risen into heaven, without establishing the kingdom of Israel as a world power, some of his leading followers continued to cherish feelings that the tenets of Judaism should pervade the preaching of the gospel. Part number two, the gospel beyond Judea. The stoning of Stephen marked a turning point in the history of both Judaism and Christianity. It occurred in AD 34, precisely 490 years after the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem had gone into effect in 457 BC. Daniel had stated that God's covenant with his people would endure for this epoch and gave the Jewish cutting off of the Messiah, the Prince, in the midst of the final week of years as the reason for its termination. Following the crucifixion, a period of 3.5 years was extended to Israel to repent. And should they refuse to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, their probation would end. The Jews would then cease to be God's covenant people. By shutting their ears to Stephen's appeal, the Sanhedrin closed out God's contract with Israel. Christ's declaration that the kingdom should be given to the Gentiles who should bring forth the fruit required by God was then fulfilled. The era of the Gentiles was opened. Paul's physician and convert, Dr. Luke, uses the first half of his book, The Acts of the Apostles, to demonstrate that the progress of the preaching of Christianity exactly followed Christ's outline. During these decades, the Lord worked through the experiences of the church to condition the Jewish Christians to accept the Gentiles as full members. Luke records the steps that the Holy Spirit took. First, he engineered the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. This young man had organized a persecution drive against the members of the Christian community in Jerusalem. He was so successful there that he organized an extension of this persecution to Christians in other cities outside Palestine where there were strong Jewish populations. On his way to Damascus, he was converted. Philip, as a result of being driven from Jerusalem, introduced the gospel to Samaria, and directed by the Spirit, had the joy of baptizing an Ethiopian official. The Spirit next gave Peter a vision to convince him that God was no respecter of persons, and immediately brought him into contact with the Italian Cornelius and his friends. The baptism of these Gentiles, that was followed by heaven's gift of the Holy Ghost to them, confirmed the apostle in the belief that the heathen might become equal members of the Christian community. These events gradually broke down Jewish-Christian prejudice and induced the believers to be more accepting of Gentile converts as brethren. But this was a slow process, even with Peter. The Gospel to the Gentiles. As we noted, Saul of Tarsus was converted on his way to persecute believers in Damascus. He had been impressed by Stephen's defense and convinced by the deacon's biblical reasoning that Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the Messiah predicted by the prophets. To drown his convictions, he plunged into an orgy of violent persecution of the believers. Many were cast into prison, some were executed. But on the Damascene road, he encountered Jesus himself and surrendered his life to his Savior. Ananias was sent by the Spirit to restore his sight and inform him that he had been chosen by Jesus as his ambassador to the Gentiles. His divinely appointed mission to the Gentiles was to be the most influential factor in breaking down Jewish-Christian prejudices. Part number 4, Paul's first missionary journey. In every city he entered, as a missionary of Jesus Christ, Paul's technique of evangelism was first to approach the Jews, and then open his meetings to Gentiles. Thus the churches he established were made up of both Jewish and Gentile converts to Christianity. These Jewish believers, accustomed to living among heathen people as they were much more tolerant of Gentile Christians than were the Jews from Jerusalem, Judea. But when urged to maintain Hebrew customs by some Palestinian fanatics, who later visited them, these Gentile and Jewish Christians began to think more of incorporating vestiges of outmoded Judaism into their Christianity. Because of this, tensions arose. Part number 5. The Jerusalem Council. The heated discussions which erupted between Jewish and Gentile Christians finally influenced the leaders of the Gentile world work, led by the Apostle Paul, to assemble delegates from the concerned churches. These he led to Jerusalem to discuss the whole matter with the apostles and pioneer believers who had lived and worked with the Lord Jesus. The main bone of contention seems to have been whether the Gentile males should be circumcised before they could become fully fledged Christians. Other traditions, such as rules for eating and the observance of certain Jewish festivals, also played a part. After careful debate, the first ecumenical Christian church council at Jerusalem in AD 49, came to the unanimous conclusion that Gentile Christians need not be circumcised nor keep other Jewish taboos or holidays which had met their fulfillment in Christ. They then sent out emissaries to the churches to promulgate 5 essential points, Acts 15, 20, 21, and 29. It was in this way that the Holy Spirit settled the socio-political uncertainties of Christianity in Palestine to embrace a different group of Christians with other social mores from the Gentile world into their communion. Let's summarize what we have considered in this lesson. Jesus Christ had commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Into this blanket directive, narrow-minded Jewish Christian believers were the original instrument. As they met up with other cultures and other ways of thinking and other ways of doing that had nothing to do with religion, they thought it good to make the Gentile converts into half-Jewish believers in Christ. The Spirit gradually weaned the Jewish converts to Christianity away from their cultural beliefs and taboos, to an acceptance of the full gospel of Christ that embraces every race and every color and every culture. We watch with fascination God's infinite patience in dealing with their waywardness and learn techniques for maintaining church unity. With this background of early Christianity, in fact, the first 20 years or so of that Christianity, we will be able to understand better the significance of Paul's epistle to the Galatian Christians in their dilemma. What were the Jewish Christians in Galatia and Derbe and Lystra, Iconia, what were they supposed to do with these pagan believers that were now accepting Christianity? What was the essential gospel, and what Hebrew cultural constraints must be given up in the Gentile world?